Director Susewin, for the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager.
For the record, Chris Donley, Region 1 Fish Program Manager, Spokane.
Good morning, Dan Chadwick, Captain, Region 6.
So what we'd like to do this morning is brief you on the guide logbook program that we've been working on. We'll walk through sort of the purpose and objective, then a bit about the proposed rule. We have some analysis that was requested of the commission at the June 14th meeting in Port Angeles that we'll go through. Give an opportunity for the commission to ask questions, and then we'll recommend commission take action. So today is the culmination of a number of months of working on a guide logbook program. You were briefed again in June on this topic. The department is interested in gathering information from the guide fishing community. This will allow us to collect information on economic benefits to the local communities, as well as understand the angler demographics that utilize the guide industry, and most importantly, give us information so that we can assess the distribution and effort of guide logbooks or guide effort in Washington. In your notebook under tab 5, you have the draft WAC language, and we'll be talking about three options today. Those start on option A on page 13, option B on page 16, and option C on page 19. And in June, during the briefing, there was discussion around subsection 3, the logbook, and when that needs to be sent to the department. So we'll talk a bit about that today. And in subsection 4, around the when information needs to be collected, and we'll try to clarify and provide some information around that point during this topic as well. And so in June, the two questions were really, how should the commercial fishing guides be asked to submit the reports of their daily fishing activity? Right now, in our option A, it's proposed to be collected weekly. There was some discussion about the ability to report on their guide activity on a monthly basis. And so we have that analysis, and we'll provide. And then second, should the licensed commercial fishing guides be required to report on both guide activity as well as non-guided activity? And maybe I'll pause here just a minute to try to clarify as we go through these options. The way the WAC rule is drafted, we're asking for the guides to collect information that occurs in 1A through G for guided activity only. When you get to subsection 4, we're merely asking that they check whether or not the guide, it's a guided trip or a non-guided trip. If it's a non-guided trip, they simply check that box indicating that that's the case, and they're done with recording information. The department's not asking for them to record information on non-guided trips, and so I think that'll help also as you deliberate on this rule going forward. So what I'd like to do then is turn this over to Chris Donley and Captain Chadwick to walk through that analysis that we prepared for you today.
Thank you, Craig. So in June, the two questions were asked, and we were asked to come back with basically a pros and cons analysis of these two separate issues. The first being, how often should a commercial fishing guide be asked to submit reports on daily fishing activity, weekly or monthly? And the pros of a weekly reporting are that it affords staff the opportunity to regularly review reporting compliance and work to ensure that the data is reported on time and correctly. Allows for real-time estimate of guide participation in fisheries, and it affords staff the ability to use catch information from the guide fleet as a supplement to ongoing creel surveys in fisheries, especially those related to quota fisheries. And cons of weekly reporting, there's certainly more time-consuming for commercial fishing guides to report weekly versus monthly. and difficult for guides that are participating in remotely located fisheries. If you remember, we had talked about three separate reporting techniques, one being a paper log, the other being online and or an app. In remotely located fisheries, both online and in an app would be almost impossible to comply to in a weekly fashion if those folks were not traveling someplace that could be connected to the internet. Should a licensed commercial fishing guide, sorry.
Whether to do it monthly or every 10 days. So my question is do you have, is there existing staff capabilities to review these guidebooks every 10 days? What I don't want to have a situation is people be required to submit these every 10 days, but then they just sit in a big pile, you know, so, and then nobody looks at them. So I just want to make sure that, or just hear from you folks, if you think you have existing staff right now to do the work, to review the, not only to gather the information, but to look at it in a timely fashion.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. So we do have staff identified that's going to be able to look at this information. Our hope and our intent, and based on discussions we've heard from the guide community, is that there's a strong interest in using the electronic reporting tools, which should significantly reduce that workload. We anticipate there likely will be some paper logs turned in, and so there will be a bit of key punching that's required. The weekly reporting will allow us also to be looking at the information that's coming in, and if it's particularly initially, if the information is coming in different than we anticipated, we'd be able to react to that more quickly. And so that's our intent.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on. The second question that was asked to be analyzed was, should a licensed commercial fishing guide be required to record fishing activity on both guided and non-guided fishing trips? And I will give you the pros and cons and then open the floor to Captain Chadwick to complete that. So the pros, based on conversations with Alaska Fish and Game, this approach ensures compliance from fishing guides in their logbook program. This is where I think Captain Chadwick can expand when I when he covers this further. And the last of the pros is it assures accurate reporting of guiding activity statewide in all fisheries. Cons, it's onerous requirement to guides to regularly fish on 9 guided personal trips. And reporting all fishing activity a guide undertakes can risk revealing proprietary information related to fishing areas that are critical to business success.
Good morning, Commission. So enforcement's always just here to help. We're here to help enforce these rules that are put in play. And so I was given the assignment to contact Alaska and see how their program went the last 20 years. And two different troopers I talked to both said that they need to report everything, every trip, regardless if it's guided or a gratis trip or just with friends. They said without that, your data is no good. Why even have this program if we don't record every trip? So that was the resounding sentiment that I had from that enforcement. You know, for us, I agree with that. Guides and charter operators, they're professionals. They're fishing on our public's natural resources, and we hold them to a little higher standard. So the other thing we heard from Alaska troopers was that this didn't take any time at all for them to complete. So they didn't see it as a big deal or very onerous, even though we've documented that it is, can be onerous to them. It really did not take a lot of time for them to complete.
How much, what's the man hour requirements from your perspective that it's going to take your staff to oversee compliance on this issue?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. if we have them record every day, regardless if it's guided or non-guided, I don't think it's going to be that onerous on our or time-consuming for our officers. Like I said, we hold the guides to a little higher standard, so our officers are not checking them every day, but we are seeing them every day. And so if we see a guide working an area for 5 days, maybe even 10 days, and then we contact them that 11th day, we can look back quickly and see that they've filled out their logbook and verify that they're in compliance. Now, if they don't fill it out every day, and we see them fishing every day, that's going to take a considerable amount of officers' time to go back and make sure that they're completing the logbooks. And a lot of this has to do with fairness too. I mean, we have some guides that are trying to help the department get this data, put this information into play, and they see their partner or hear them in the wherever they're at, eating dinner, wherever, say that now we're just calling it a friend trip. And they get frustrated that we're trying to play by the rules, but they're not. So if we just have everybody fill out one for each day, I think that'll save a lot of officers' time and a lot of problems.
That seems appropriate. Thank you. Commissioner Grayville?
This question about revealing proprietary fishing spots and things like that. I mean, how specific are we on these reports? I mean, we're not saying the left bank below Wells Dam, you know, what GPS location.
Well, I was hoping so that I could be at my desk. I could.
Exactly.
No. In all seriousness, Commissioner, go back and remind you that this information is protected under the under PDR perspective because we do feel it is proprietary, and so there is. Under the law, the rule protections for that information, so it can't be revealed to the public, or at least we believe most of it can't. So it is a little bit of a non-issue. However, I thought it was important to bring it out and have that discussion in fairness to the guides and their concerns.
One other follow-up. Have you developed? I was at a meeting where you had sort of a sample of what it might look like, or the app. The app idea, I know, is very popular. Most people want to go that direction. As I recall, it's not a terribly lengthy form. And I just having an aversion to filling out a lot of paperwork. I was just curious about what the demands would be. Have you got an estimate? I mean, at the end of the day, is this going to take a guide 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
When working with the app developer, sort of the platform or the foundation that I talked to him about is, could we figure something out that could be done in 5 to 10 minutes and closer to five? And you know, I think the app that we have, it's really very basic and not well filled out because we need to understand from the commission what the rule was going to look like. You could do that in less than 5 minutes. We can put in drop-down menus and many things that sort of speed up the process. And I did want to highlight exactly what Mr. Burley said to remember, too, is this gets really simple. If it's a guided trip, it might take 5 minutes to fill out. If it's a non-guided trip, it's check the box that's non-guided, and we no longer require any other information for that day. So it could be as simple as 20 seconds.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One question about the proprietary information matter, and then a couple of questions on the main thing of enforcement aid that would result from requiring all trips to be recorded. So on the proprietary information, you said this is not subject to information release by a public records request. And you said something about most of the time or something like that. So just to be clear, if someone asked for the information of a particular guide, the results of the logbook for a particular guide, would that information be released to anybody who asked for it?
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. So we've identified the statute in WAC that references the what is and is releasable under the Public Disclosure Act. And so there is, it's the, there's standard information that's excluded, sort of people's, I believe, phone numbers and addresses. I don't have the specifics there, but there is in statute the sideboards of what can and cannot be released to the public under a public disclosure. So we would look to the statute to identify what could and could not be released under that disclosure. I would go back to Commissioner Graybill's question about how specific are we asking for locational data, and at this point we're focused on the catch area location, so it's either an entire river or it's a section of a river, and so we're not asking for specific locations on the river. And so that, I think, also helps that situation.
So when you say you look at the statute, what does the statute say? If someone said, I'd like to know where Guide Joe Schmo was fishing over the course of the last year, I might wonder if he's fishing in Lake Roosevelt for every day in the month of April. That might be something I'd be interested in. I think the kind of proprietary information maybe the guides would be concerned about is, you know, revealing where their fishing hole is, so to speak. And it's not going to get specific to the fishing hole, but your answer was, well, we'd look to the statutes to figure it out. So when you do look to the statutes, is that something someone can ask for and get the information from that particular guide? What days did he fish where?
Thank you, Commissioner. And my understanding is that we can aggregate data when we're looking at commercial information. We can aggregate data so that we're not releasing specific information for a specific fisherman. So in our commercial fisheries, for example, out on the coast where there's logbook information collected, we can aggregate that information and show at a catch area what information is where fishing occurred in a broad geographic area, like a marine catch area. But we're not obligated to release information for specific individuals and specific locations, if that helps.
So I would take that as a no. If someone asked for that information, the answer from the department would be no.
That's my understanding.
Okay. On the matter of ease of enforcement, so the purposes of the program in your slide are to help us figure out a little bit more about the guide fishing industry and the economics of it, and how many people, you know, to what extent is the guide fishery a factor in the whole thing. It is not a matter of collecting information to manage the fisheries for achievement of a quota or find out how many fish are caught in a particular area. And it seems to me that the biggest concern here is the enforcement thing, where there's going to be guides out there that are really guiding, but they're going to call it a friendly trip. And that maybe since there's cash involved, there's not records. Anyway, they're going to try to get away with what really is a guided trip, but they don't want it showing up on their income tax, or they, for some reason or other, they want to get away with not complying with what's required for a genuine guided trip. So the folks in Alaska say that this will assure and ensure that there's accurate reporting. There's always going to be some bad apples out there anyway that you're going to have to keep an eye on, because regardless of what we say, for a true guided trip, not a private trip, they're going to not report it. And even if we did this, there probably are a few you're going to have to keep your eye on because they don't really like doing this and they want to not do it. So you've got some penalties and some infractions in here. I think as I've struggled with this, it's a a better situation if you're checking off a box as opposed to completing all the information that's required when it is a guided trip, which would include, you know, all of your friends or your family's fishing license, wild ID number, and all of those kinds of things. But I guess I'm still trying to struggle with, if you have a bad guy out there who is really guiding, and then he's calling it a non-guided trip and trying to get away with that, whether or not there's ways for you to find that out anyway by asking the customers, or whether you think this solution kills that as a possibility of a wrongdoing.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there something we need to know about you?
Yeah, there is one thing. The gentleman who testified said that sport fishing is just burning money if you have to do that. The way I catch fish, it's always just burning money. So.
Well, thank you for the question. With anything, like right now, we're having to deal with illegal guides down there guiding or chartering down in the lower river specifically, lower Columbia River, and they're hard to catch. But if you have a guide that maybe is trying to get around the, reporting his business on certain days, and just wanting to call everybody friends, I mean, Chris Donnelly's friends uptick during the buoy 10 season too, but and most of the year they don't want to be around him.
He just breaks rods down.
But our officers are looking for that. We have a lot of feelers out there. We have a lot of help from industry. I mean, this industry is, like I said, I'll say it again, they're a professional bunch of people. They're looking out for their own industry. Many of them want to help the department get a handle on what's happening in different river systems, and so they're going to help us truth a little bit of that information and point out those bad actors, and just like they do with illegal charters right now. So by having the tools we have in there, you see that just failing to complete a log entry for the day is an infraction, but providing false information is a crime. Now, if we learn and develop probable cause that somebody has committed a crime, now we can get into their records or whatnot, do search warrants, and get to the bottom of it a lot easier than just the infraction. So we have some tools to make sure that this goes as well as it could, but there are going to be some problems.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes, this is a background question for myself, at least. Is a licensing requirement for guides statewide, or is it regional? Is there any way that there's a breakout with the licensing to understand where guides are actually fishing? Are they place-based, or are they, once they get a license, they can go anywhere?
Thank you, Commissioner. From the Longview Bridge down to Buoy 10 and Lake Washington and Puget Sound, it requires a charter license, a salmon charter license if they're salmon fishing. Anywhere else in the state, if they're going after food fish or game fish like steelhead, it requires either a food fish license, sturgeon for example, or a game fish license. Once they have that license, they can go anywhere in the state and fish.
So if they were going to both places, they'd have both licenses?
Yes, sir.
Continue.
No, go.
All right. So to try to wrap this up or give you options then for the rule set, we broke it into three options, A, B, and C. Option A is filed in the CR 102, retains the weekly reporting requirement, retain the requirement to report on personal use or non-guided fishing trips that occur on a designated WDFW licensed fishing guide vessel. Adopt an effective date for the program of January 1 of 2020, and adopt all other elements of the logbook as originally proposed. Option B, amend subsection 3 to allow reporting within 10 days following any calendar month in which guide activity took place. So this is essentially a monthly reporting, but we adopted from other WAC code, other logbook programs, where we have a 10-day window post the month to report. Second bullet, retain the requirement to report on personal use or non-guided fishing trips that occur on a designated WDFW licensed guide vessel. Again, adopt effective January 1 and adopt all other elements of the logbook program as originally proposed. And option C, amend subsection 3 to allow reporting within 10 days following any calendar month. Amend subsection 4, removing the requirement to report on personal use or non-guided fishing trips that occur on a designated vessel. Consistent with the other two options, adopt an effective date of January 1, 2020, and adopt all other elements of the logbook program as originally proposed. Our staff recommendation to the commission would be to adopt option B.
I'll put a motion on the table.
Commissioner Thorburn.
And then we can discuss it if we need to further. So I will move to adopt option B as presented by the staff, and that would allow for monthly reporting but retains the requirement for personal trip reporting.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Keogh seconds the motion. Any further discussion? Commissioner McIsaac?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for staff on public comment. We heard some public comment earlier this morning. Have you heard any other public comment from folks since Port Angeles about this or your staff recommendation?
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. We have not. We have had some discussions with Mr. St. Denis, but those are the only comments we've received.
Okay. Yeah, in terms of my thoughts on the matter, you know, I had been concerned about the matter of putting an onerous burden on folks that are maybe not full-time guides, but part-time guides, in the whole question of reporting on their private trips. However, I'd speak in favor of the motion. I would give the nod to the enforcement folks that they've thought this through, and it can be the best of the two options for weeding out the bad guys on this. I would have voted against this motion if it required all of the information to be required on a private trip as if it were a guided trip, and I would hope that just checking off a box once a month wouldn't be too bad of a thing. But anyway, I'd speak in favor of the motion all in all, and this will be a first for us to take a look at this, and we can always hear about things as it goes through time and see if it gets...
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Before I go to you, Commissioner Laveau, I would just like to inject it. Maybe I didn't see it, but we get a report back in 1 year on the progress and compliance and how it's working, if we'll. Commissioner Linville.
I just have a quick question. So in agriculture, we report a lot of things quarterly, and it feels like a burden because it's for different agencies, and it's a pain. And so do these folks who are doing these commercially guide, do they have a lot of other, are they doing a lot of reporting? I'm just curious if we are burdening them in any way with more reporting, if you have a sense for that.
They are required to report their activity to the IRS, so obviously quarterly business taxes. and that's what we know most are doing. However, there could be some reporting required if they are guiding on Forest Service concession days or BLM. Most of our guides aren't fishing in those places. Those folks that are have been doing that for a long time. Those are rare privileges that they want to keep, so there would be some reporting. As far as what we've required from commercial licensed commercial fishing guides, this is our only requirement for that from that industry.
Okay. Mr. Grayville.
I believe I would be in favor of this option B as well. I'll ask you, now that we've kind of learned that it can be as simple as checking a box for reporting of a non-guided trip, are you satisfied with that?
I am. After talking with Mr. Burley, and he explained that in a little more detail, that makes more sense to us.
Excellent. All right. I'll be voting.
Very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Go ahead and take the rest of the day off, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, Kelly, I stepped over. I knew that was coming. Okay, let me find. We are on the wrong page here. We are now moving to agenda item 5, Advisory Committee for Americans with Disabilities, a report to the commission. Take a minute to get the folks in here. Oh, and the dogs.
This is three of us, right?
Yep.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning. I'm Dan Dickerson.